those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and perhaps even give us a call here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for a beautiful day today, Father, and the start of a new year. We just pray, Father, that as we come before you today, that you would just meet with us and help us to be able to reason together out of the scriptures, that we might have insight into your word. We might have understanding into what you have for us to learn today, Father. Bless, and I pray if there's one person listening that needs to put their faith in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that you touch their heart with the truth of your word today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what a blessing to walk into the studio today. I didn't expect to see Bruce Musselman, who is on here with Where is God's Word program, and he was in with John Lutz and the program just before us, and that was a blessing to see them in here and see how he's doing, and certainly we've been praying for him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And we have been praying that he soon be back at 100% and back on the air live and doing all the things that he wants to do for the Lord. So what a blessing to see him here this afternoon. Well, I wanted to introduce a subject here, I guess talking about some things here in the new year. And it's partly because of some things that have been going on lately, some people I've talked to, some things that I've read online, some things that I've heard on the radio. And it revolves around this idea of reasoning. And so often we get this false concept that the Bible is not for educated people. The Bible is not for intellectual people. The Bible is just a bunch of myth and superstition with a few good thoughts thrown in with it. And you got to kind of pick and choose and figure out what you want to believe or what you want to accept from the Bible. But I really believe that the Bible is a book that's based on reason, a book that's based on logic, a book that's based on fact, because it comes from God, and all of those things make up God's characteristic. Besides that, there's enough in the Bible that talks about reasoning and things of that nature, using your mind for, you know, your brains for doing more than keeping your ears apart. And I thought I'd just start with here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and read a couple of verses. I want to go back to Isaiah. And still getting rid of the after effects of that cold that I had last week for Christmas. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 14, the Bible says, But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And the sentence then continues on into verse 15 and says, But sanctify the Lord God always in your heart, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And he continues on, actually in verse 16, the sentence continues, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And conversation there means more than just your talk. It also means your walk. It means your behavior. And what he's saying here in this rather long sentence that stretches through verses 14 through 16, and let me interject something here. One of the advantages of the King James Bible, one of the reasons why it preserves the Word of God where modern translations take away from the Word of God, is the King James translators wisely followed the direction of the Holy Spirit, and they preserve these long sentences. You look in the modern translations, they chop these up, and you lose meaning. A lot of the thoughts are there, but verses 15, 16, and 17, I'm sorry, 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's all one long verse here, verses 14 through 16 here. And when you read this, we find out that it starts with talking about suffering for righteous sake. And if you take a stand on the truth, if you take a stand for God, and you take some flack for it, whether it's being called a Bible thumper or being called some other names or just some kind of psychological, emotional type pressure, or whether it's actually something physical like the guy that's in jail in Iran today was jailed on Christmas for refusing to allow his children, if I remember correctly, to become Muslims, and he propagates the Christian faith, and they put him in jail for it, persecuted for righteous sake. It could be all the way up to being imprisoned, to even being killed. And we read of the martyrs in the Bible and throughout history, but he said, don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. If you're taking the right stand for the right reason, God says, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. He said, instead, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this emphasizes how a Christian can suffer for righteousness' sake and not be terrorized, not be troubled, but instead we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. And we set the Lord there apart in our heart, and we set him up in our heart, and we realize that we have a relationship with him. We realize that there's a point in our life where we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We realize that we're a sinner, that we were lost and on our way to a real place called hell, which the Bible warns about, speaks more about hell than it does about heaven, in fact. And we understood that there was nothing in us, and there's no way possible for us to escape it, except for believing that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and that he came to this world, lived a perfect holy life, and then willingly went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin, and that he died and was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. Now, if you don't believe that, you can't be saved. But if you realize that he did that for you, then all you have to do, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What we do is we call upon the Lord to be our Savior. We say, Lord, I believe that I deserve hell, but I believe Jesus paid for my sin with his blood upon the cross. I believe that he suffered and died in my place, and that he's buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. I believe that, and we accept that by faith. Now we have the Lord set up in our heart, because he says he'll indwell us, and he will be in us, and we become literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he's in us. Now we have a reason that we can be neither terrified or troubled when we're persecuted for the Lord's sake, because we can be ready now to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, not bludgeoning people over the head. I saw a thing on YouTube just the other day, and I'm thinking about clicking it onto my the website for the radio program, live.maplenoel.us. That's live.maplenoel.us, and in it, a young girl is putting up little post-it notes that she had written out, and she didn't really say anything, but she just holds up these notes in succession, and basically she talks about how she had been, as a Christian, always feeling she had to do, and feeling like a failure, feeling like she never did enough, establishing superficial relationships with people just merely to win them to the Lord, not really loving them, not really being a friend to them, just so she could basically put a notch in the Bible and get a good report at church. And then one day she realized that, God loves her, and she's God's child, and she's already accepted. She doesn't have to make herself accepted. She was accepted by God when she trusted Christ as her Savior. She became a child of God, and she has an assurance of a home in heaven. And basically what she was saying is that the relief she felt, she no longer had to do to be accepted. Now she could do because she wanted to. And she wanted to express her love for God and the love that Christ had for her that caused Christ to die on the cross for her. And she felt such a relief and such a freeness now to be able to truly express God's love to people and share the love that she feels for God and share the gospel, the good news that God loves us so much that he sent Christ to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And so now she has a reason of hope. And she can give a reason. You know, why can she be happy even when people might mock her for her stand for the Lord? Well, because she knows that she has a home in heaven. She knows that God loves her. She knows that her sins are forgiven. She knows that no matter what happens to her here in this world, she's got her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's a tremendous thing. And so when we know Christ is our Savior and we understand the truths of the Bible, we can certainly be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the hope that is in, a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear, not haughtily, not, I'm saved and you're not. You're a filthy sinner, and I'm a saint of God. No, we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. Even Paul lamented the fact that he did that which he knew that he shouldn't do and didn't do the things that he should do because of the sin that was in his flesh. And I'm looking forward to that day that I'll leave this body of flesh and I'll be clothed with a new body that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15, where he talked about this mortal putting on immortality, this corruptible putting on incorruption, and I'm looking forward to that. But in the meanwhile, I'm trying to do the best I can to reach people with the gospel and give a reason of the hope that is in me with meekness and fear, and because I have a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of me, and you can have a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So if you're living a godly life and trying to share the love of God and reaching people with meekness and fear, giving a reason for the hope that's in you, eventually these people are going to realize that, like they tried to accuse Daniel and they couldn't find any way to accuse him other than accusing him of praying too much, basically. And that's something that we can realize. Now, I wanted to move from there over to Isaiah. And of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can jump in too if you've got a question, 888-677-9673. But as I've said, I believe we ought to be able to reason. And in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 18, starting in verse number 18, God presents some things that he does. He says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine tree and the box tree together. And then he says in verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together. In other words, he's talking about the world being able to look and see what he has done. And that's what the Bible says, that the worlds declare the glory of God. And we see what God has done. And they'll understand together, he says, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created. And then in verse 21, he says, produce your cause, saith the Lord, and bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. And he goes on in that passage to talk about people who don't accept Christ and don't accept God's hand. And he's asking them, well, show your reasons. Here's a good one. Problem is, a lot of people aren't really thinkers. They emote. They don't think, they emote. They don't act, they react. And they don't really think beyond a very shallow level. And they, if it makes sense to them, if it seems right to them, if it seems acceptable to them, then they're willing to believe it. But that leads to some contradictory statements or some statements that just don't make sense. And, you know, for instance, the statement that there are no absolutes. And if you think about that statement and you say, well, let's reason together. Give me your evidence for why there are no absolutes. And then let somebody try to prove that there are no absolutes, and then you can disprove it just by simply repeating their statement. Well, if your statement is true, then that's an absolute statement, which means your statement is now false, and it makes no sense. It's devoid of sense. It's a senseless statement. There are no absolutes. But people say that, and here's something that they say that's similar to that when they get on to the subject of religion. Well, every belief is valid, and the related thing, nobody should criticize anybody else's belief because every belief is valid. You can usually disprove that one in about 2 seconds. All you have to do is say, I don't believe that. And usually they'll say, no, every belief is valid. In other words, they'll disagree with you. What have they just done? They've just disproven what they claim to believe because in reality, every belief that they accept is valid. But beliefs that they don't accept aren't valid because their belief that no one should criticize anyone's belief because every belief is valid, as soon as you say you don't believe that, they criticize your belief and they don't believe your belief is valid. They reject it. And that's a problem. But people say those things and it just seems to make sense. You can be with a group of people from various backgrounds, various religious or lack of religious backgrounds, and you can see, you know, in a social setting, so somebody say, well, I believe this, and people go, oh, that sounds wise. Well, I believe this. Oh, that sounds wise. And somebody say, well, all those sound good because, you know, everybody's belief is valid, and everybody will nod and approve and everything. But the moment you say something like, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Oh, how can you believe something so stupid as that? And all of a sudden they're contradicting what they claim to believe. So you're allowed to believe whatever you want as long as they find it acceptable. Because here's what people do. They say it can't be true because I don't believe it. Well, that's a unreasoned statement because what if I believe it? If I believe something's true and you don't believe it's true, then which one of us is right? And why should I reject what I believe is true because you don't believe it's true? You know, eventually you reach the point where it might makes right, you know, because what are you going to eventually use as your foundation or your reason for what you believe? But see, most people don't have a reason for what they believe. Can't be true. I don't accept it. I don't believe it. I don't accept it. I don't understand it, so it can't be true. Can't be true because I don't agree with it. It can't be true because I don't like it. Can't be true because I don't want it to be true. And all those types of things people say. And those things, they don't think beyond that. For instance, if somebody says that God doesn't exist, and you ask them, well, how do you know God doesn't exist? Well, ultimately, it comes down to, well, because I just don't believe it. Well, I believe God exists. Why is my belief less valid than your belief? Especially if you think every belief is valid. And you can start to hear the gears start to jam because now you're starting to make them try to think. And most people don't go beyond the surface statement. But the Bible says, and we read it right there in Isaiah 41 there in verse number 21, where he said, produce your cause, bring forth your strong reason. Over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God believes in reasoning. You know, some of the most unreasonable, intolerant, hateful people are the people who claim that they're tolerant and all of this because they say, well, if you believe the Bible, you're narrow-minded and you're intolerant and you're hateful and all these things. But when you start to open up the Bible and begin to explain some of these things, usually they just shut you out. They don't want to hear it. And it's just like the little kid that sticks his fingers in the ears, closes his eyes tight, and goes, "Nah, nah, nah, I'm not listening." And that's what we do a lot of times. But the fact of the matter is, I remember talking with a guy who told me he was an atheist. And he asked me where I thought the universe came from. And I said, well, I believe, according to the Bible, that God created the heavens and the earth. God who always, he said, well, where'd God come from? And I said, well, God always existed. He said, well, that's foolishness. That's silly. That's a non-intelligent answer. I said, well, how do you think the world and the universe came into being? He said, well, the singularity exploded in the Big Bang and created everything that is. I said, where'd the singularity come from? He said, well, it always existed. And I looked at him and kind of smiled, and then he paused and he realized that he just said the same thing that he criticized me for, because he had a faith-based system just as I did. So what are we going to believe and why are we going to believe it? Well, I would submit that we should believe it because of what we read in the Bible, because God's word is truth, and Jesus Christ is true, and we have the truth, the foundation of God's word, and let God be, you know, true and every man a liar. We have God's word. We have the truth of the word of God, and if the word of God is true, then we can rely on it. It's either true or it's not true. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And he's talking to the Father there. And we understand that Jesus Christ himself is truth personified. And he is the word personified. And I don't have time to get into a lot of that portion right now. Maybe we can touch on some of that more next week. But what I wanted to understand here is I have a reason for what I believe. I have a foundation for what I believe. I have made the choice, and I admit it's a step of faith, but it's reasoned faith. I can look at the world around me. I can see evidences of a creator. I can look at logic, and I can see reason to believe that everything must have a first cause. You cannot have just an infinite number of causes causing causes, because, and there's a logical proof for this, if you go back with causes causing causes for an infinite past, that means there was no cause to cause the cause that caused the cause that eventually caused the cause that caused us to be here right now. So there has to be an initial cause, a first cause. And I believe that first cause is God. And he's revealed himself to us through the Bible. That's why the devil attacks the word of God so much. That's why he's muddied it up with the modern translations or versions that have corrupted and broken up the truths of God's word. That's why he tries to get people to not read it. And that's why he tries to even get churches to not even use the Bible in their services. And the truth of the matter is, God has given us his word. He's preserved his word. And he calls forth people to be preachers and teachers of his word to help people understand it. And ultimately, he sends his spirit to move upon our heart to bring us understanding, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the word of God, because they're spiritual truths. And we need a spiritual teacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And our job is to try to make these things plain. That's what we try to do here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're about out of time here today. And of course, I appreciate you listening. Hope you'll continue listening through the coming year. Visit our website at live.maplenoel.us. If you'd like to help us be on the air, why don't you buy one of the books that we have listed there, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, or Who Is This Jesus? And you can buy them online as an ebook, and that'll help support this program. We could sure use your help, and pray for us. That's the biggest thing that you can do. And visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. That's a sponsor of our program. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, the center of North Royalton, right there on Route 82. And let them know you heard about them here on Frank's Live with Pastor Al. And hope you'll join us sometime at our church and meet at the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio. We'll be there tonight with our Bible study. And take care. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.